Welcome to Tennessee Fan Talk, Vols fans. Entering week 9. A little downhearted from what we could be feeling. The Duke says he called it out.
Truth.
We got a show for you today, a show full of questions. We're going to hit 4 minutes. A little four-minute drill on the game stats, and then we're going to hit into some questions. As always, you got the Duke, you got Bird, special guest today, Vols fan Will Wheeler. How you doing, buddy?
Thank y'all for having me on.
Love it. Couple questions.
Did I hear you correctly? Vols fan?
Yeah, Vols fan. Yeah, you. Okay. Whether or not you okay. are or not, you are tonight.
Okay.
Is he really not? Because I mean, we can kick him out from me.
Let's just get the air clear here.
We will hold on. We have a big question for the end of the Kentucky preview, and then we're going to reveal his true character.
He's a Kentucky fan?
Oh no! Don't do that! Don't do that to him.
Keep him guessing. Keep him guessing.
Yeah. You spend the show guessing. This is great.
Tulane. I'm an old
riding the big green wave.
I'm a traditionalist when it comes to the SEC.
We're going to start off with that 4 minute drill on the game stats. Looking down this sheet, guys, we talked about it before started recording. It kind of looks, and Will brought it up, it looks like it did last year as far as how close it was. You go through here, look at first downs, time of possession, net yards rushing within 5 of each other, passing 271 for Tennessee, 220 for Alabama. The completions, that was just 28 for 41 for Milton. Just got to talk. Both with 2 passing touchdowns. Offensive yards overall, Tennessee 404, Alabama 358. Plays roughly the same. I mean, you look at everything. So does it boil down to a couple of things for me? Here's my take is the horrible third down conversions, 8 of 18 for Tennessee, 0 of 3 of fourth down conversions, 3 for 4 red zone, but 1 for 4 of touchdowns in the red zone. For me, the game turned around with the fumble. With the Milton fumble. That was it. Pulled the plug.
The fourth down shotguns were killing me. I'm not gonna lie.
Golly.
That had me screaming at the television. Like, this is blasphemy.
Was it a scream like, go get him, boys, because he's in the shotgun?
I don't know what was going on. I can't predict it.
You would think that they would practice, you know, you could tell he's not comfortable under center because he never takes them. He never takes snaps under center. And as big of a guy as he is, why would...
He just has to lean forward.
Why would it not be him? Why are they trying this...
Go ahead.
He's got what, a 7-foot wingspan? I mean,
I'm sure. I grew up watching Tom Brady being 100% probably just making it up on the daggum quarterback sneak for first downs. Why? I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Oh, let's you know, get a running start now.
Yeah, he's 6'5", 235 pounds. Get someone behind him, push him.
I mean, I just got off from watching the Eagles. I mean, they've obviously started the trend this year, and they just did it about 10 minutes ago with Jalen Hurts. I mean, he gets like 8 yards. It just blows my mind why you wouldn't just, in a big game, big situation, just follow the trend. I don't know.
Oh, boy, we're getting it. It's hard to look over everything we're talking about. It's hard to look over the big question for the end because we're going to have a big one at the end. We already talked about Milton, 28 for 41, 271 yards, two touchdowns. His longest pass, 39 yards.
It's probably the longest pass of the year, right?
I would say so.
That wasn't including the running yards. That was the touchdown pass, right? Squirrel what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a dime in the back left corner.
Ah.
I don't know. That South Carolina game, he threw like I want to say it was like 40 plus yards.
That one that he
just skied up in the air. And yeah. I mean, they came down with the play.
And Squirrel caught with his feet. Squirrel has saved him. Squirrel caught that pass.
If Squirrel was only 6 inches taller.
Yeah.
It's the truth. He's the fastest guy out there. If he was as tall as Jalen Hyde, he'd be just as good.
I will say for Milton, I'm going to give him some. He showed a little bit better poise in the first half. And this was after he went to his teammates after the A&M game and said, it was me. I was disconnected. It was on me. It's not going to be that way. And he had a positive looking first half. Still mistakes. Still had mistakes.
Arguably his best game this year, right?
Arguably his best game this year. Hey, and Tennessee is, I think, the only team with three spots in rushing in the SEC as far as leaders.
And we couldn't run the ball.
And one of them is Milton.
And we couldn't run the ball in the second half.
Nope. It's called adjustments by Alabama. One thing that Nick Saban is great at is adjusting and winning games.
Is out coaching everybody because he just done it again.
Yeah. Yes.
Plus, our playbook is nowhere near as large as it was last year.
Oh, my goodness. Look at you. Did you even? I don't even think you read this, but.
I sure didn't.
But listen,
I promise I didn't.
Sending out a list that says, this is called a show full of questions. We're going to hit 4-minute drill. Next one was, does Milton look better? The next question seriously says, are they not opening the playbook?
hand to God, I didn't read it. I just drove all the way back from Bristol, banged up, hung over from the day before, went to church this morning, had a headache, had to pull the boat all the way back. I didn't read nothing. But the playbook is nowhere near as large as it was last year.
So, yes, it is. And what's up with these new shuffles? Shuffle pass or I'm going to carry it, and if I'm going to get hit, I'm going to shuffle it to you so that you can
gain the option?
Gain six more. No, he's got a couple of them where he's shuffling out in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah, he pitched one that wasn't supposed to be pitched. And it made him look very unathletic when
he did.
Oh, my God. he two-hand passed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, chest pass. Like, wrong sport.
I don't think he's that athletic.
For some reason, now when he gets going,
I'm being honest,
he gets going, gets out in the open. They said he was clocked at 21 miles an hour or whatever. But when you put him in them situations where it's not a design run, he's having to do, he looks out of, just uncomfortable, out of his skin.
Maybe uncoordinated is the right word.
Maybe uncoordinated. Maybe Joe stomp like he throw real hard.
Don't throw ball far.
You move, I knock you over. Give Joe the rock.
Hey, I know there's a lot of hate. There's a lot of hate for him right now, but I know it's got his first half performance has people questioning, you know, should we keep him around or what? I thought he looked damn good in that first half. Like, they looked like a high-powered offense. It was crazy.
I agree.
It was wild.
He had moments.
I mean, we threw the ball more than we have all year, right?
Probably. He threw the ball more in the first quarter than he did all of last game.
He was slicing and dicing them. But we talked about it before the show, maybe earlier too. The red zone performance from Alabama was just lights out. I mean – they wouldn't give up a yard once you got down there.
They wouldn't give up a yard. Correct. That goes to another question that we have is, are we lacking wide receiver speed?
Ramel Keaton looks like the best receiver in the nation 1 minute, and then he looks like he plays on Sullivan East High School.
He got new gloves. Did you see his new gloves? He had black gloves on. They may have been little giant.
They had black cleats on too, if you didn't notice that.
He was actually catching some of the balls. He was actually
catching some. Yeah, he had pine tar on it.
And
is that illegal?
You know, they
gotta be.
I mean, the gloves are already sticky, so why can't they add any more to it?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to – we didn't have a wide-open moment that was used.
The tight end was wide open on that touchdown pass.
The one that –
don't remember his name.
Jacob Warren.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was wide open.
Samson would have been open for his catch, too, had not he been held and got a no-call.
I think on the touchdown pass to Squirrel, somebody was wide open in the middle of the field, too. I mean, it still worked.
It still worked. The only taking advantage of deep throw over the middle, wide open, was the shot from Milroe. Over.
It was definitely.
Oh,
it was
my definitely wide. I mean, they just watched it sail over him.
Yeah.
Well, but one of the guys was, I mean, I'm not a blame the ref guy, but he was getting Undertaker chokehold on the line.
Yeah.
I mean, he was getting turned. I mean, he was like folded backwards. But, you know, you can call holding on every play. Let's be honest.
You could call holding on every play, and I'm glad you brought this up. So, Alabama, I mean, I saw some holding. And the big guys on the line, like you said, every play is just to how much. But when
that was pretty egregious, that one. Let's just be honest. That one was pretty egregious.
But when it's a pass interference, something that would have stopped a major play or
a fair catch.
I mean, yes. One for Dylan Sampson at the end zone. Another one was a deep ball right-hand side. I mean, the pass interference misses. The hold misses. The blatant hold misses were insane. Here is a team, Alabama, who is averaging from their own side. I went to Alabama's and looked at their stats, and they are averaging 50 yards a game. Now, that average just lowered because they only had 5 yards. 2 weeks ago in A&M, they had over 100.
Clean team. They're just a clean team.
Yeah.
They're clean. They figured it out. One week.
You're one penalty for what did we say it was?
5 yards. It was for a legal
snap infraction.
Yeah, a snap infraction.
You're going to tell me that a team 2 weeks ago that had 10, 12 penalties, 100 yards, did not commit a single pass interference, a single hold, a single hands to the face. Nothing.
It's surprising.
You hear that silence? That's exactly what Josh Heupel did, too.
It makes me think that, sure, you know, it's like old brother, where art thou? Just some good old boy politicking in Tuscaloosa. He's bona fide.
Are you? Well, he's bona fide. Are you bona fide? Heupel? Nope.
No, Heupel's not bona fide. University of Tennessee's not bona fide. Greg Sankey has bona fide 3 teams, 2 in the West and 1 in the East.
Who's the other one in the West?
LSU, for some reason, they're on that Tiger dick so hard, I don't know what's going on.
Oh,
Brian Kelly with that fake Southern accent. He's not bona fide. He wishes he was.
He was.
You want your cornbread?
Oh. Our picks last week. Hey, at least I can say that we're not Arkansas fans or Mississippi State fans. Because a game that we...
That has to be a miserable life.
A game that we picked, you had 28-17. I had 35-28.
I thought KJ Jefferson's good. Boy, was I wrong.
For 7-3. Snooze fest of the month.
Fest of the week.
Of the month.
Maybe the year.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if Mississippi State Arkansas games for the rest of the season, like they are they're just going to be on ESPN Plus no matter who they're playing the rest of the year. I picked that. I picked the Mizzou, correct? I know why you didn't pick Mizzou.
But I also forgot that Shane Beamer's a fraud.
And then Auburn still winless in the conference. LSU puts
what
it up.
What score did I pick? What score did I pick?
For Ole Miss?
Yeah.
42-10.
Oh.
I said 42-10, and you said, yeah, just go with that.
Yeah. Tough to play down there, and Jordan Hare, tough.
Jordan Hare.
But they're going to win an SEC game this week, folks. Mark my words, Auburn's winning the SEC game this week. They play Mississippi State.
They'll probably still lose.
Hugh Freeze is still paying for his sins of calling hookers.
Yeah.
I feel like there's probably not too many hookers down there in Auburn and Toomer's Corner.
It might be. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back in and pick our games and talk what we really got to do to get past Kentucky in the grocery store aisle.
Pay your taxes.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Vols fans, let's be honest. Do you really trust where the meat comes from at your local grocery store? With all the fillers and preservatives out there and their unknown long-term issues, why not take a little stress off of your grocery list? More and more people are going back to the farmers for their local eggs, vegetables, fruits, honey. Teague Premium Beef offers a local solution to a nationwide problem. Simply visit bellbucklebeef.com to select your cuts and choose the processor nearest you. Teague Premium Beef will deliver grass-fed, grain-finished beef to that processor. Why take chances on the unknown? Choose local. Choose Teague Premium Beef. Welcome back, Tennessee fans. The second half of the show, we're going to go in, make some picks, talk about Kentucky, still have our guest Will with us. I don't know if Brad's been, the Duke's been, had his head turning a little bit about quite possibly the alma mater of
it's
our
probably,
special guest.
Sounds like it's Mississippi State.
Are you just going off the color that I'm wearing?
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah. I wore this. I wore this on purpose to just throw you off.
Ersie from ETSU. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Starting off week 9, South Carolina visiting A&M, ESPN, noon Eastern. Ooh. We'll give it to Will to start it out. Who you got? What you got?
I went to Knoxville for the South Carolina game. I was able to watch them up front. They're not that good, you know. They're just not. So I'm rolling A&M on this one.
What kind of score you got on that?
A lot to a little.
Hey, that's I love it. I think Shane Beamer lost. I think Shane Beamer has lost the locker room, and probably a toenail. I'd have to feel like he probably broke it when he broke his toe. He stubbed his toe. His toenail's coming off too, right? 35-12, A&M.
Ooh, giving them just 12 again.
Well, proof's in the pudding. And A&M's got a really good defense. A legit defense. I don't know if Mizzou does. It's hard for me to wrap my brain around how good Mizzou
Jimbo
is
right needs now. A win. Now, you flip this around. For me, you flip this around and put this in South Carolina.
In the cockpit?
And his... his trouble on the road. I would give South Carolina the win.
You're crazy.
But being that it's there, I'm going A&M 42-21. And we still have no score from Will. He just says a whole bunch.
Okay. I'll roll 38-21. I'm giving him a little bit more points than I originally was thinking. Just because both teams aren't incredible.
The CBS game of the week, 3:30 Eastern, the one they're not allowed to politically call it is what they have.
The world's largest outdoor cocktail party. We'll say it for them.
We need, as Tennessee fans, to be Florida fans for that game in order for any hope for Tennessee to have any type of dealings in the East.
Music City Bowl, here we come.
I will not watch if we go to a Music City Bowl again. You want Florida to win. You need Florida to win, but you can't pick Florida to win.
Neutral site. It's still Sunbelt Billy. Makes me think of old Billy Barule on from Caddyshack. Old Billy.
Georgia 35-28.
You think it's that close? I don't. 42-14.
I'm going up there with Georgia. I'm going to say 42.
Oh, give Duke a 9. 40,
40 42 16.
I like the obscure. There might be a safety sprinkled in there, Bird.
There's going to be some weird stuff going on.
A safety and somebody goes for two and gets it. And then two field goals.
The
16
conference bottom of the barrels in the West, the 3:30 on SEC Network, Mississippi State visiting Jordan Hare
in the Plains,
playing the identity issue War Eagle Tigers.
I don't know what's going on, but it's 2023 and you can be whatever you want. Sometimes they identify as Eagles, and other times they identify as the Tigers. Whatever kind of mood they're in that day.
I gotta go Auburn on this.
I've watched Auburn two or three games this year. They're just I don't see anything good out of it coming out of their defense. I think Mississippi State will escape in Jordan Hare. I think they're going to win by a field goal. Let's say 21-24.
I mean, Will Rogers is still not playing, right? He's there for his 12th season, but he's still not playing. I think he's done.
As far as I know, no, he is.
Auburn 13, Mississippi State 7. Mississippi State only put up 7 points against Arkansas. I don't expect them to put any more up against Auburn. There's no way Arkansas's defense is that much better than Auburn's. No way.
I'm close to you. I said Auburn 28-10.
That's the snooze fest of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I would rather watch Vanderbilt Ole Miss. Well, at least I see some points with Ole Miss.
That's the next one on the list.
I agree with that. For us, it's the graveyard.
Next one on the list, 7:30 Eastern. We're going to, of course, skip the Tennessee-Kentucky, come back to it. 7:30 Eastern, SEC Network, Vanderbilt traveling to Kiffin Stadium.
Where they have the champions walk for winning what? We don't know.
For being decent at basketball.
The walk of champions for what sport? Baseball. That's football stadium.
Well, you got to give it to Ole Miss, but by how much? You know, Vandy still holds
25.
Vandy still holds some stat top of the stat sheet on a couple things.
GPA,
defensive tackles, you know, things like that.
Well, because they're on defense more than they are on offense. It's just play the numbers here. They got more opportunities to make more tackles because they're always out there.
So is this like a 48-14 kind of game, or you think higher?
I sure do. I think they put as much up on Vanderbilt as LSU put up on Army.
I got it 48-21.
62-6.
Now, is this a missed? Or is it?
No, they don't do that. It's two field goals. I used to say missed extra point, but now it's two field goals. 62-6.
42-21. You know. Ole Miss. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what you got. 42-21. Go Clark. And bringing it in. Tennessee traveling up to the grocery store. Number 21, Tennessee.
We can't talk much more smack about that because Tennessee has taken that business model as well with
with the Food City Center.
It should have been called the Food City Forum. That sounds better. It rolls off the Food City Forum rolls off the tongue better. But so, Food City Center just thinks I'm going to the normal Food City. Maybe that's why they did it. I don't know.
Kentucky will be coming off of a bye. After coming off of a loss, both of us 5-2, both of us 2-2 in the conference, we got to stop the leading rusher in Ray Davis. I'm sorry, he's not leading. He's second in rushing yards. But that Hairston, I think is his name, the defensive back, leads in SEC in interceptions. And then you got Milton that can't throw.
I don't know. It's just like, which Kentucky are we going to see? That Georgia game just always just makes me scratch my head. Like, I was very disappointed. I was hoping Kentucky could have done a little bit, made a little bit more noise, you know. But Tennessee, I think that they played well against Alabama the first half. I'm hoping to see more of that. But let's go Tennessee. Bye.
Kentucky only put up 21 against Mizzou.
Yeah.
I mean, I can always say what I always say.
What's that?
Death, taxes, and Tennessee beats Kentucky. I'm a little nervous this year because I do know that Kentucky hates us way more than we hate them. And we're also playing it at Kroger.
At night, in the cold.
In the cold. Probably cold up there. I don't know. I kind of think that Heupel might can lose the locker room, too, that the guys on the team just say, we don't give a shit anymore. We're done.
You ready for that big question reveal? Saving the big question for after the Kentucky preview while we throw it right in the middle? And, listeners, this is not an original question because this is one that the Duke asked me several weeks ago. What if, on our show full of questions, what if Heupel was not the brains behind last year's success? What if Golish was really the guy? Tell me there's not enough proof in the pudding to show that for this year.
I mean, I haven't watched a single game of UCF or USF or wherever he went, so I have no idea.
Who'd they play early on that they were actually playing very good against for a quarter?
Alabama, was it not?
I think it was. I think it was Alabama's first or it was their second game. Will, you should know this.
Who are we talking about? What team are we talking about?
The Bulls.
University.
I cut in and out my AirPod.
University of South Florida, where Alex Golish has gone to be the head coach. They played Alabama earlier, second game of the year, right?
Yes, correct. But it was.
And gave them a little bit of troubles in the beginning.
No, 100%. The first half, yeah. I mean, it was, you know,
then you run into depth, you know, and yeah. USF's not going to have depth.
Yeah,
exactly. They're not going to have depth. They're not going to have it. Brad?
Tennessee beats Kentucky 28-21.
Hey, leading up to the Alabama game, I forgot to say this, is I was like, you know what they need to do is take the ball, 25-yard line, line him up with some extra tight ends, extra running back to really protect Milton, and let him air it out and just raindrop it in the other end zone, because the corners are going to give up on him. They're not, you know, you're still running. What the hell are you still running for? Corners give up on the wide receiver, and he just drops it in. And then listening to the broadcast, they say, well, we interviewed Saban, and he told his corners, I don't care how far they run. You stay with them because this guy can throw it 80 yards. I was like, damn it, Saban. Why you got to be so small?
I still say Saban's only got two more years left.
I agree. Somewhere in there. Somewhere in there.
Then they hire Lane Kiffin.
Well, Lane Kiffin. I personally, you know, I don't know if we should make the big reveal or not, but Lane Kiffin's not. I don't want him to become the Alabama coach.
Well, there's your sign.
Yep.
That's okay. We all commit sins.
Oh.
He who cast the first stone, hate the sin, not the sinner. That's what my mom used to always say.
But although you find out where our special guest went to school, you have to know his positive notes about going to his Neyland game.
Yes. I got to visit the electrifying Neyland Stadium for the first time this year. And I'd say I went to a pretty good game, night game, South Carolina.
Dark mode.
We went up. We had, you know, it was a pretty competitive game up there till the half. Tennessee started just taking a chokehold on it. But I'm telling you, coming from an Alabama fan that's been to many Alabama, Bryant Denny night games, whatever. I mean, I went to the Cam Newton game where he came back 24-0 at half. And there's just something about being in Knoxville at night with those decimals creeping up to 120, you know.
They know how to do it. This was the first time that I had ever heard of Saban taking to social media and saying, we need y'all to be a part of this game. We need the fans to be loud. We need to give them back what they gave us last year.
Yeah. It's been, the dialogue has always been Nick Saban getting mad at the stadium because everyone just expects to win in Tuscaloosa. And it's just like, you know, kind of a dud atmosphere the past like 3 or 4 years. So it's refreshing to see, you know, them clap.
Yeah. Y'all are used to lighting cigars. I need you to clap now.
There 3 or 4 years ago, he was getting mad because the stadium's half empty in the third quarter.
I'd be going to the bar too if I was the dudes there. By 30.
Yeah.
I will say the South Carolina game at South Carolina is pretty electric because I went 2 years ago for or last year for the debacle, the torn ACL game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I heard sandstorm. I mean, 82 times. And my brother-in-law went to USC. So we went with him. And I mean, it was a good time. Their fans are a little mean, though. And Tennessee fans are normally not mean to anybody.
Yeah, I had a good experience when I went. Well, granted, I wasn't wearing any Alabama stuff.
I was going to say,
it's been a lot different.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've been to away games for Tennessee, and I've been. Ole Miss wasn't bad. I went to the Alabama game when it was Josh Dobbs' first start. We got ran out of the damn building after halftime. But I do. I mean, I'm a Tennessee fan, so obviously I don't see any of the hate. But I've never seen it. And I've taken other people from other school that are fans of other schools, and they have,
oh yeah, yeah,
said nothing but good things. Yeah, but I'm also taking the people that I know.
So. 2 years ago, I sat in Neyland right next to Georgia fans, and he's like, "How's today gonna go?" I was like, "I'm watching Georgia on their way to another SEC champion, another championship." He goes, "Oh, it's gonna be a good day then." I was like, "Absolutely." It's going to be a really good game.
I did see that they said that Brock Bowers might come back the Tennessee game. And all I have to say is think about your future. You know, think about going to the NFL. Go ahead and just sit the game out. It's a joke, but you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's like Caleb Williams from USC. You might as well hang it up, buddy.
Just go on. It's not worth it. Live your life. Georgia's going to win regardless. They've got, you know, a slew of tight ends. Maybe that are not as athletic as he is.
And I think Beck's better than what a lot of people think. I think Beck's pretty good.
Old crackhead-looking Beck is better than what
he does look like a meth head, does he not?
Yes, he does.
Maybe he maybe used to dabble in it. Now he just deals it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Made some past mistakes with that reckless tattoo on his arm. Maybe wishes he could take it back.
Now that we've gotten way off path here, Tennessee, Kentucky, 34-24, Tennessee.
I'm not going to be shocked if Kentucky wins, though.
Will, what'd you get score wise?
I think Kentucky shows up a little bit. They rush the ball pretty well. Georgia's obviously shown struggles with like what, 2-3 teams that weren't even ranked. I think Kentucky's gonna make it close, like a 21-30 ball game.
Then everybody's gonna go. All Tennessee fans go to Two Keys in Lexington and drink a beer for me. That's the bar up there.
Milrow has is going to have a lot to prove week 9. I would love to see week 10. I would love to see when UConn visiting into Neyland for homecoming.
Give Nico the second half.
At least a second half. Because week 11, we go to Mizzou. With the number one running back up there that I just went mind blank on. Very.
Eli Drinkwitz is going to run the score up on us if he can.
Oh, yeah.
He was very butthurt we did it last year.
Oh, yes, he was. Yeah, he didn't like that. He was very outspoken.
He's still such a nerd.
What is your thought? Speaking of him, you brought him up, so my mind went there. If they cut Jimbo his $77 million, Eli Drinkwitz at A&M,
Josh Heupel,
no, Eli Drinkwitz A&M. You do know I saw a stat this week that said under the same amount of games, someone had 2 more wins than Jimbo, and they were paying him $6 million a year. God talk.
I could see the coach from Oregon.
Dan Lanning?
Yeah. I mean, he's got an easy gig out there on the left coast playing, you know, but he's an SEC guy.
He is. Come home.
A&M's got more money than anybody.
They've got everything they need except for a coaching staff
and cheerleaders
and female cheerleaders.
Yeah, cheerleaders. Those, yeah, because the men are called yell leaders.
Somehow we've managed to go almost 40 minutes on this thing. Which is just podcast suicide. But it's a good conversation piece. Less jokes. You can tell you've been out on the lake and I'm hung over. Lake,
buddy, I'm banged up. Banged up.
Have you ever sped off with a trolling motor and made someone fall in?
Not that, but I have fallen in.
Same.
On your own accord or someone did it to you?
Both.
So you've been sped off on while you were standing on deck.
Sure have.
Oh,
sure
that's have. That's great. That is absolutely.
I mean, it's the oldest trick in the book.
Yeah, it's funny when you hear it happening to other people, though.
Yeah.
Maybe I just haven't been enough for that to happen to me.
Well, you got enough time to catch yourself, Bird, because you're so short.
That's right. I hit, what is that, rise on the fiberglass rise on the side about six yeah, inches? Like, yeah, I just put my arm out.
The gunnel. It's called a gunnel. You hit the gunnel.
Listeners, we want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of Tennessee Fan Talk. Remember, if you want to get in on the show, just shoot us a message. Wherever you are, we are at TN Fan Talk. Hit us up. Talk some Vols. Laugh at the Duke. Want to thank our special guest, Will, for joining us in here, despite being a crimson-colored person.
Once again, hate sin, not sinner.
But at least he has seen the neon orange
light. I'm an open-minded Alabama fan. This should be refreshing for Tennessee fans to see.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. We're not all bad.
Yeah, we've met plenty of douchers ourselves.
Well, I mean, everybody. I mean, I'm sure Alabama thinks all Tennessee fans are bad too. They were not.
Not all of them. No, I do.
Not me, but there are. I will say there is an overwhelming amount.
Oh yeah.
But I will tell you, the worst fan base in the SEC, speaking from experience, Georgia.
Haven't dealt a lot with them, but LSU fans, they
My wife is from Louisiana, went to the LSU-Tennessee game last year. And my joke is we had Nutri-Rap before the game.
Come week 12, we'll have, just before week 12, closing out week 11, before week 12, we'll have special guest Franklin on, big Georgia fan, so we can make fun of him being the worst thing.
I'm sure he barks like a grown man does. he probably has his own collar with the studs
on
it.
He's got shoulder pads with the studs, yes. Yeah.
Does he?
And a and a big chain for his interceptions.
Probably got a hobnail boot somewhere too, but everybody knows what that is.
Well, thank you again, listeners. See you next week.
Go Vols. Yeah, what he said.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.